as a pastor, it grieves me, I would say, the times that I meet with people that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because they fall into sin or they struggle, they doubt their salvation. Can I say something? If you've asked Christ into your life and you've repented and you've asked for forgiveness, you are forgiven yesterday. You are forgiven today. You're forgiven tomorrow. And God wants to, let me say this, to take off on worship, breathe new life into you today and encourage you. I brought my old, it's like 20 years old, my New Testament survey book. And I like what they say about the book of Romans. It says, Paul's letter to the Romans has the reputation of being hard to understand and even boring. Many a congregation has groaned inwardly when their pastor announced a sermon series on Romans, and many a daily Bible reading schedule has come to grief in its pages. Now, let me give you a really quick cliff notes about what Romans is. When this was written, when Paul wrote this, there was a lot of tension between the Christians who were Jews and the Christians who were not Jews, called Gentiles. You know, they say that probably these two groups had home churches, but they didn't meet together. What's the main issue? The Jewish believers wanted the Gentile believers to follow some of the Jewish laws, especially circumcision, observing the Sabbath, and food laws. So the main theological issue, and again, this is such a cliff notes, is a person made right with God by their actions? Do we get saved by our actions, or are we saved through faith in Jesus Christ? You know, I love in the beginning and the end of Romans, Paul really talks about, church, we need unity. That the Jews and Gentile Christians had to have the same attitude toward one another that Jesus has. So with that brief backdrop, let's start. Romans 6, 6 through 14, Paul writes, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. Lord, let us receive this today. Let us understand that though we ask you to forgive us, that Jesus, we surrender our lives to you and say, you know what, forgive me, come into my life. We still have the deposit of the old sin nature in us. Our temptations don't disappear. The false attraction of sin doesn't dissipate. But we press on. For years, the enemy, the devil, has had a field day with this. He tells us we are unworthy because we sin. He tells us, how dare you say you're a Christian? How dare you think you're going to heaven? If you did, you wouldn't be doing this. And there's also the camp that says, you know what? You have grace. It's okay. The Old Testament's an older, the Bible's an older book. Life changes. Indeed, society changes, but your truth never does, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we're not going to, as Paul says, we don't sin because when sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. It doesn't mean we go ahead and sin. We don't accept that lifestyle, but we fight the good fight. We know there's victories we're going to have as well as defeats. I like what one pastor said once. When you sin, repent and get over it because God already has. Lord, you're breathing life into these dead bones. You are calling us to come forward, to trust you with our lives, Lord. And I do pray that we would accept that challenge this morning. In your name, amen. Years ago when I was up north, I was meeting with a pastor friend of mine. He was really going through some hard times. He was struggling with a computer, I'll leave it at that, to the point where he said, maybe I should quit because I stumble. And I remember just meeting with him and saying, well, you know, you're fighting it. It's nothing you embrace. It's nothing you say, it's okay, I'm forgiven. So you press on, because you know what the fact of the matter is? We all have sin. That seems attractive to us. Like I said, I can go to Turning Stone. Gambling has no hold on me. But there's some people that can't do that because they blow their paycheck. And there's some things that struggle. Like you guys know, I've said multiple times, I'm careful what I watch on TV because I know my language. I know the temptation that I have to slip back into my old ways. So I'm not going to feed that to myself. So what I want to talk about today is we're alive to Jesus Christ, but we're dead to sin. You are dead to the control of sin. And the first point I want to make, the old is gone, the new has come. Let me also give you a very condensed summary. I've given you this before about the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament points to man's need for a Savior. That's the purpose of the Old Testament in a nutshell. The New Testament gives us that Savior in Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul is writing about in these verses, we have two choices to make. Are you going to let sin control you? Or are you going to let God control you? And there really are these choices that we make. And let me read to you. Augustinian was a pastor, an intellectual. He was born in like 358. He goes, in the midst of wrestling with a tortured conscience and profound doubt about his life's direction, Augustinian's bondage of desire for sex was broken when he read Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So we have a choice to make. God is saying to us, clothe yourselves in Him. How do you do that? Make sure that you are in the Word of God. Make sure that you spend devotional time, quiet time with God. I got here early this morning, looked through my notes, put on some worship music and just sat there and just spent time with God. If you're not in the Word, you're going to be captured by sin more easily. It's not a legalistic thing. It's a relationship type of thing. You know, and I don't want you to think, oh boy, he's going to come down hard on us today. I want to encourage you because I am tired of hearing people disqualify themselves because they sin. God doesn't disqualify you. God gives you a hand up. Just as Joe held on to his son, God wants to hold on to you and say, it's going to be okay. Let's press on. And those of you that think, I can never change, don't ever say that because God can change you. If you look to yourselves, granted, you won't change. You need to look to the Lord. You see, when we say yes to Christ at salvation or conversion, we become a new creation, the Bible tells us. The new has come, the old is gone. But our old nature still makes sin appealing to us. Romans 7:18. Paul writes, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And one of the things in Romans Paul talks about is the law, the Old Testament pointed out, we can't live that way. I like what Pastor Rick Warren once said about diets. The bad thing about a diet is you're concentrating on the very thing that you don't want to do, which is eat. Only thing the Old Testament law does is shows us where we mess up and why we need a Savior, because you can't do it. And I love how in Romans 6, in verse 6 to 9, Paul writes, for we know that our old self was crucified. In verse 9, he goes, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, you have to know that you're a new creation. You have to know that sin is dead in you. And fact of the matter is, if we fully relied on God, we do have the ability not to sin. We have the ability not to fall into temptation, but we are all weak and we all will struggle, but we need to look to God. Christian living depends on Christian learning. We have to press in. Church and the Bible cannot be a part-time occurrence with us. We need to press into God to have victories. But you have to know your identity, that you're a new creation in Christ. And you have to look right now. You have to look in the mirror and say, I want to get better. I am not okay where I'm at. God has more for me. You know, the fact of the matter is, because of our old nature, sin has a foothold in us. You just have to deal. When will you be perfect? When you become room temperature and you breathe your last. Then when you go home to be with Jesus, you will be without sin. Are we perfect? No. Are we forgiven? Yeah, we are. And can I tell you what? Your sin is no greater than anybody else's. You see, what happens to us is we have a hierarchy of sins. Well, I'm okay there because I told the person on the phone that my wife wasn't home, and she kind of was. But at least I didn't kill anybody. Do you know with God, they both disqualify you from heaven? God doesn't say, okay, that's sin A and that's sin B. You're forgiven. We have to make this connection. Jesus Christ died for our sins. We need to learn. We need to listen. We need to live. Why am I saying this? Because if I could put pictures up on that board of people that I talk to that struggle with whether they're saved because of sin, you would be amazed. And today, God wants to end it once and for all. We're saved. But guess what, church? We have to stop listening to society and allowing certain practices into our lives because that's what they say is okay. That's not what the Bible says is okay. And God will hold us to account for that, but he wants to set us free. I like this quote. I can't remember who wrote it. Sinning will keep you from the Bible, but the Bible will keep you from sinning. You see, one of the things that I found in my life, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. You know, What the problems we have is legalism or license. You know, license says, well, I'm under grace. God forgives me. It's okay for me to sleep around. It's okay for me to get high. It's okay for me to cheat on my taxes. It's okay to me not to declare. I won't go there. I will. Money I get paid. It's okay not to worry about that. Woo. Legalism, they're going to say, this was the church, I believe. Like I knew when I was saved in the 80s, there was a lot of legalism in the church. We were pharisaical. We added things to the Bible. You can't do this. You can't do that. Legalism makes us militant. So God doesn't want us to be legalistic. But you know what? I want to please my Father. I remember when I was in my teens, I had a really cool relationship with my grandmother. She's a Christian, bedridden, but she was awesome. And I remember in my formative years, when I was tempted to do things that I shouldn't do, I would sit back and think, it would break Anna Smith's heart if I got arrested and they put that in the paper. You see, I had a relationship with her, and I wanted her to be proud of me. I don't do things or not do certain things because God says get in line, but I know God has the best way for me. If you're a parent, you don't say, it's okay to eat Milky Ways for breakfast. It's okay to eat Snickers for lunch, and it's okay to eat Hershey's Kisses for dinner, and that's all we're going to do. Why? Because you know better. God knows better for But what God wants to set free in our lives is he wants us to embrace his freedom and not like he's a firm taskmaster. The second point I want to make is we need a heart transplant. We need a change of heart. Our old nature still wants to be in control. You don't think there's a sin nature? Have you been around an 18-month-old person before? You can tell them, no, we don't want you to pull the cat by the ears. And what happens when you turn around? That cat's ears are being yanked from its head. Not being a cat lover, I don't think that's a bad thing. But what I'm saying is this. If kids want to do what's wrong, did you train them to do wrong? No, that's the sin nature. That is the Adamic nature of man. Adam and Eve sinned. We now have sin. We now have separation from God. I can't live God's way without help from the Holy Spirit. There are too many times I've tried a lifestyle change with, say, diet or something by doctor's orders, and I really mess up. I pray, say, Lord, you got to help me with this. We can't live God's way without us opening our lives fully to the Holy Spirit. Look at forgiveness. Think of the person that did you the absolute worst. You got to forgive them. They might have taken a life of somebody you love. They might have, I don't know. But God tells us we must forgive. In the natural, I think that's near impossible. But with the Holy Spirit, we can. Why? I don't want that person to have control over me. Verse 11 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. What this means is, believe what God has said in your life. Stop doubting. Am I worthy? Newsflash, no, you're not. But you are in Christ because he died for you. What I mean by you're not worthy is your life isn't worth heaven, neither is mine. But Christ died for us. I know it seems like I'm being repetitive today, but I got to tell you, I believe there is strongholds in each of our lives that we have to get over. You know, verse 12 says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. We have to resist the enemy. We have to put things into play. If you look at 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. There's a show I used to like to watch on television. Then they took it off and they put it on a streaming network. I did not realize that meant they now have more liberties. So I watched it. Okay, then I watched the next episode, and a minute and a half in, I turned it off, and I said, I can never watch that show again. Why? It's not good for me. It's not good for my heart. It's not good for my flesh. So 13 says, do not offer any part of your body. That means don't watch what you shouldn't watch. And that means, guess what? If you have trouble with your computer, do not be on your computer ever. Unless your family's with you or somebody else. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. We need to make wise choices. You guys know your weaknesses. When you're trying to eat good, what do you not do? Let me go down to the Dollar General because they got really good chili corn chips. And they really do, if you can find them. Or I'm going to have ho-hos or something. Why? Because you're going to eat them. Because why? I remember when I used to work, when I had an old job, 9 Mile, the guy brought in the most amazing donuts from a place called Smartville, New York, someplace near Pulaski. And I would be, you know, we'd work 7 to like 3:30. I was amazing at 7 o'clock. I had the best willpower. These are humongous cinnamon donuts. Oh, nope. Come 3 o'clock when I'm tired, man, I scarf down 2 or 3 of those. See, I can't have that stuff with me. You guys know your weaknesses. You know what you can't do. Why do you not go to the grocery store when you're hungry? Why do you go with a list, with cash, and not a debit card or credit card? So you don't overspend. You know what your weaknesses are. You have to stay away from them. You have to put safety measures. I have a friend of mine. He has a smartphone. He does not. He can't get on the internet. Why? Because he knows he struggles with pornography. And he knows that regardless of what happens, there's a way he can find his way in. So he goes, when he buys a new phone, he goes, you got to make sure there's no way on God's green earth I can get on this internet. He has no idea how to get on the internet at home because there's so many passwords. And when he does, his wife opens it up and sits there with him. Why? Because he knows his weaknesses and he wants to put safeguards in. You got to be careful. And I want to say something to everybody. Who is your accountability partner? Who can tell you no? Men, it's not your wife. Oh, and some of you say, yeah, I don't need one. Ooh, boy, am I worried about you because you're lying to my face. Everybody. And I'm saying this right now, and if you know, if you're a couple, I want you to sometime this week talk to your spouse, and you're going to decide who you talk to. Now, and I am not talking about your basketball-playing friend Joe that lets you, just using that name, just lets you do anything. That you go, oh, really, you did that? Oh, gee, that's too bad. I'm sorry, that's not accountability. Accountability is a friend that gets in your face and says, man, you got to stop that because that ain't a Christ. You know, every Wednesday, man, by 8 o'clock, I get together with Wade Smith. We have coffee, and guess what we do? We get in each other's faces when we need to. Why? I need that in my life. Tomorrow morning, I'm getting together with Pastor Mike Bartholomew from Watertown. We get together, and guess what we do? We talk to each other about what's going on. Is it uncomfortable? Hello! But my relationship with Jesus Christ is worth the discomfort. You have to have somebody in your life that you are accountable to and that will pray for you. Because isolation brings desolation. We need somebody in our life. I like what James Dobson said, focus on the family. When a man tells me he doesn't struggle with his thought life, that's when I really start to worry about him. Why? That's how men are created. We're created to be sight stimulated. That's why sometimes we talk. I talk about how people should and shouldn't dress. We have to realize that we are under grace, but we can't give ourselves that grace. We have to be careful how we live and not to do things that's going to hurt my relationship with Jesus Christ. I know they were corny, but you know what I liked about those bracelets about 20 years ago, WWJD? When I'm doing something, would I do this if Jesus was here? I remember I went to this movie once with a bunch of Christians, and it wasn't a bad movie. It was like a war movie, but man, the language was bad. And one of the brothers said, "That's okay. We're all adults. We can handle this." I said, "Man, I shouldn't have come." I remember once years ago, Chris Fredo might remember this. I hope he doesn't. I had a small group about 25 years ago or more. "Hey, let's go to the movies." So we go to the movies. I don't know any of them. So I pick out this one called Wayne's World. Remember that, Chris? After about an hour, I said, "Guys, I'm sorry, we got to leave." My man Chris turned to me and goes, "I wonder what took you so long." I had to repent to my whole group. I didn't know what Wayne's World was. And maybe you've watched it, and I'm not judging you. But what I'm saying is it wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for me to hear that. It wasn't good for me to look at that. It doesn't promote Jesus Christ in me. Titus 2, 11 and 12. He writes, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." You can change. You can live righteously. You know, James tells us we're all going to get tempted, but guess what? Temptation is never from God. God always gives us a way out. Now, let me say this. Reading the Bible 24/7 is never going to remove temptation from your life. But the fact of the matter is, we hit what we aim at. What drives your life? Bigger paycheck? More toys? Whatever. If it's not Jesus, you're letting in a whole lot of hurt. See, we can't be part-time Christians. We have to dig in. We need a heart transplant. I had a friend of mine, Tom. He had an actual heart transplant. It's kind of funky, you think about it. But he also changed because he got saved. And he went from an ogre to this really kind old man. God wants to give us a spiritual heart transplant. The last point I want to make is we have full freedom. This was heavy on my heart this week just because I get tired of people getting beat up because they're sinners. Again, you know I'm not saying embrace sin, but it doesn't disqualify you. I'm the father of two daughters. They've never been perfect their whole lives. They're not like their mother. I will hear about that later. Even when they didn't do the best, I loved them with all my heart. See, God loves me with all his heart. There's nothing I can do that he goes, "Okay, cutting him out of the will." Failures can lead us to doubt. Doubts of your worth, doubts of your salvation. Don't do that anymore. And if you hear somebody do it, you tell them, "That ain't from God. That's straight from the pits of hell." Like I said, there's nothing I can do to make God love me more or less. I want to spend time in his word just because I love God and I want to know his word. It's not like, okay, I read 5 chapters today. If I do 6, he's really going to like me. The thing that I love is God views all sin the same. 13b says, instead, give your, New Living Translation, instead, give yourself completely to God. And in a few moments, I'm going to end in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to surrender everything you have to God. Now, I'm not telling you this is easy, because it's not. Temptation is still going to ask you to take control. But you got to fight the good fight, and you got to pray and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me do? And you got to give into that. Because the more we say no to that, the more we become numb to the word of God and God's leading. But instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. I'm not going to go deep into this just to say, my mother accepted the Lord before she passed. It was just her and I when she went home to be with the Lord. She had a lot of fear. A lot of fear. And I knew in part because she embraced the Lord but didn't go to church. So there is a stymied relationship there, and death is our enemy. I don't want us to have any kind of fear. I don't want us to have any kind of fear. Just to have, you know what, Lord, I'm going to fight this fight, but I'm going to press on and I'm going to win. I don't want you to be too casual towards sin. I don't want you to be too militant. You see, what Paul writes about, the issue is not what do we do on the outside. It's who we are on the inside. When I have given myself completely to the Lord and he guides me and I listen and I read his word and obey, then you know what? I'm not going to do that knuckleheaded stuff. Am I going to stumble? Hello, pick myself up. God, let's move on. I'm so sorry. Sin should never be treated lightly, but it can't paralyze you. I want some of you to hear this. Stop letting your sin, A, master you, B, paralyze you from moving forward. Do you know how many times God gives me something to speak on and I say, you know, I'm struggling with that, God, right? Yes, but I'm still the messenger. Closeness to God. Like me and my grandmother, I wanted her to be proud of me because we had a really close relationship. I love God so much. I want to honor him with my life. Not so I get another gold star, because we are here so that when people look at you, they see the reflection of Jesus Christ. So that when people look at me and you, they say, hey, I see something about God in them. Not, wow, they have freedom to do that? No. But we are not enslaved to sin any longer, though the struggle is real. But what Paul is saying is, it's not what you do on the outside. It's what you do on the inside. And once you let God be your Lord completely, the one who controls you, then you know what? More and more you're going to want to live for him. And we have to stop listening to the voice that says, but I don't want to do that. I get it. But God knows better. So in closing, summary, stay committed to Jesus. When you do have your struggles, don't doubt God's love for you. Don't doubt your salvation. When you stumble, pick yourself up, press on, and guard against secrecy. I am so dead serious about having an accountability partner. Because if you say that's not for me, then you know what? I'm sorry. You are setting yourself up to fail. I have watched, as I've said before, enough Chuck Norris shows that I know he didn't go against everybody all at once. He did it one by one. That's what the enemy does. He wants you to be by yourself. And he's going to hit you when you're not expecting it. Close your eyes. The last slide. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Yes, you do convict us. But that means you hold up the mirror to the sin in our life. Not to wrap our knuckles with a ruler, not to demean us, but to put your arm around us and say, I have a better way for you. Lord, there are so many believers that have been beaten up by their past failures. Help us to forgive ourselves, Lord, as you've forgiven us. Lord, help us to tell the enemy to shut up when he tries to say, are you even saved? See, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The only sin that I could ever do to erase that, not trying to step on anybody's theological toes, is to deny you as Lord and Savior. That's the only insurmountable sin. So, Lord, I pray, you know, I loved worship. I love the dry bones, Father. And in Ezekiel, those bones, they're fully formed. Still ain't nothing happening. Why? They needed the Spirit to breathe life into them. Holy Spirit, come into us afresh this morning. And as I pray, I'm going to ask you right now, say, Lord, I'm going to give you my whole life. Oh, you're going to be anxious about that. I get that. But say, Lord, I give you everything that I am and everything that I do. For my benchmark, Lord, my legacy on this earth should not be for me, but for you. Lord, you're doing a new thing in our hearts, in your church. Let us grab a hold of it, Lord. Let us walk in your freedom, not embracing forgiveness in a way that lets us do whatever we want and ask forgiveness later, but in a way that said, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, just move in your name. Amen. You know, when before I knew the Lord, I would party and I would do all kinds of stupid things. And I literally would go to bed at night on a Friday night and say, Lord, forgive me for what I did. I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow, but forgive me. Then I got into a relationship with Christ. And when I did that kind of stuff, it broke my heart. When I worry about people is when they get unemotional about their sin. When you feel terrible and you feel like you're in mud, I don't want you to feel that way. But that shows grief over sin. That's from God. So I just want to encourage you guys today. Press on. Lift up your heads. Because God wants to heal you. God wants to release you. It's time, church. But it's time. Amen. Blessings. Didn't mean to go over an hour. If it's still snowing, I don't know. Drive careful. Have a great day.